We'll take a moment to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for help tonight to present a clear gospel, to present the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And we'll just pray for help once again for the speaker, but also for those that aren't saved in the audience tonight. Father, would ask that they would have a desire to have this settled, to acknowledge the need, to acknowledge maybe the frustration of it, but to put it first in their life. So just ask for help to be clear and plain. And just thank you for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. A question has been in my mind in regards to the meeting tonight when I was asked last week. Of course, when you're sitting in the audience, you have lots of ideas of what you'd speak on, and then when you're asked to speak on something, the ideas disappear. But this question came to my mind, and it is this. What is your problem? And that could be stated in many different ways. If I said, what is your problem? That might be a front desk person asking you very politely, what is your problem? What can I do for you? If I said, what's your problem? And you say, nothing, what's yours? I don't have a problem. If you're not saved tonight, I should ask you, what is your problem? And if you were to say, nothing, what's yours? I would say you have a massive problem, and so do I, but mine's dealt with. So do you know what your problem is tonight? And that has very many branches off of that. We all have problems when it comes to life. Could be financial stress, could be health. There's many things that affect our lives. But do you know what your problem of your soul is and eternity? And if you acknowledge that, I was trying to figure out how this would work into this, but I'll start by reading. We'll go to Romans chapter 6. Always good to start with the scripture. You say, what? If you're telling me what's my problem, then what is my problem? And I can tell you through this verse. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 words describes your problem. For the wages of sin is death. And maybe you wonder, well, what's wages? I don't think there's anybody here that might not understand wages, but wages is what you earn. You go to work. That's a wage. You can look at it in a negative sense. If you go and steal a car and you get caught, your wages is jail, or in this world, probably not jail, but you get the consequences of what you do, good or bad. That is the wages. And we as humans, because we sin, the wages of sin is death. And that does mean a physical death. We'll all die. But when you die, your soul lives on in either heaven or hell. And if you do not accept Christ as your Savior, the reality of it, your wages is hell. That's pretty blunt, but I think we need to be, or I should be maybe more blunt. Maybe some of you don't think that. But the gospel should be blunt because it is very serious. I'm not trying to sell you a car tonight. I'm not trying to tell you, hey, there's a really good deal on a Honda Civic down the road, and I really think you should go get it. Like, if you don't, go get it. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. This is your eternity. And that's why I'm trying to get across to you what your problem is, because this is not something that you can just take and, yeah, maybe next week. And in all reality, You've done that. If you're not saved tonight, I don't see anybody here that I don't know. If you're not saved tonight, you have done that. Last week, maybe next week. That's a bold move. That's a really bold move to keep doing that. And I did that. So I can't pass any judgment. It's very bold. And I will say that I don't follow too many politics, but just to bring it into perspective, when you look at the Bible in Daniel and Revelation, when it talks about what this world is going to be like, and I know in the past they've said this, but you look at Iran and Russia and even what the world powers are doing, it should make you very nervous, because that leads up to what the time is after the Lord comes. And after the Lord comes, your chances, good luck at getting salvation. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And if you're sitting here and saying, I don't have a problem, big problem. I'm not trying to scare you into realizing it, but it is hard to make somebody feel their need. And I was sitting there in prayer meeting thinking, how can I relate this? You know, I have a really tight hip. I went to the chiropractor because of my lower back. Don't really go. And there wasn't too much cracking going on, but my right hip is really tight. And that is making my back sore. Simple fix, stretch for 10 minutes a day. I would rather have a sore hip than stretch for 10 minutes a day because I'm lazy. That you laugh, but I have a need. I know how to fix it. I don't do it because it doesn't affect me that bad. And I can understand, like, that is you tonight if you're not saved, because there's no imminent, there's not a door that is leading straight to hell where you're going, that you're this close and going physically. There is not a clock that says your name and the time. There's nothing physical. There's nothing you can see, there's nothing that you can feel that can tell you how close you are to death and how close you are to making your final choice. But in all reality, that should be every second of your life until you get saved, is the reality that, like, I don't know what I have left. I don't know what I have left. I'll go back to what we all know, Timmy. He never went to work at whatever age he was, mid-30s, I forget exactly, but he wasn't planning on that being his last day. A very healthy, fit, kind man. And God called him home. There's been a lot of death in this community of young people recently. You're not exempt. It's not old people that die. Everyone dies. So is your problem real tonight? Is it? And I can't make you feel all kinds of way. You got to deal with that. But I want to get this across to you tonight, how serious it is, because your problem might end tonight. And your decision, where you are, that's it. That's your choice for eternity. And maybe you walk out, not make a decision. My dad, a year ago, we'll add a couple months because it took a while. So a year and 4 months ago, he walks around Pond Inlet, goes for a walk, and he started feeling a little pain in his chest. Thought, I should get this checked out. There's heart problems in our family. I should get this checked out. So he goes to the doctor, do a scan. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks like the equipment wasn't great there. Looks like you have a little blockage. We'll send you down to Ottawa. Get a stent, no problem. So they book the appointment. A couple months goes by, goes down. All set to go into the operating room. Comes back out. Okay. Doctor says, you don't have one blockage. You have 9. And we need to operate right now. We don't want you to leave this hospital. We can't make you stay, but we need to deal with this. What would he say? What would you say if he's like, oh, that's bad? but like, the hotel was pretty comfy. Can I go stay there and I'll be close in case something happens? Like, I acknowledge the goodness. Like, I know I need to get this work done, but the hotel was pretty comfy, so I'm going to go stay there. You say, you fool? Like, you don't have days. We need to do this now, because if, like, one little thing comes into that hole and you die. It's crazy. It would be crazy for Dad to leave. Well, that's you tonight. Maybe you think, I'll come so I know that there's Christians around, and I'll just be in the vicinity, and then when I feel really that I really need to be saved, then I'll be there. I'll be ready. Make the decision then. Or if the Lord comes, I'll be close, and maybe I'll be with that. I mean, I know kids, I did think that too. If I slept in Mom and Dad's room when I was 6, if the Lord came, like, physically grab on, take me with. Foolishness. Of course Dad did not say, take me to the hotel. He said, okay, let's go. I don't want to take the chance. And they operated on him. Everything went well. And he's great. Got his yearly checkup there last week. Now he doesn't have to worry about it. He can go for his walks. No pain. He can enjoy doing what he does. He had to go through a little bit of discomfort. I mean, they rip you open, essentially. He was in pain a little bit. But he had to do that to be made well. So maybe you're here tonight and you don't want to face the discomfort of your sin. I was there. Oh, I don't know how to get saved. I've heard it so many times. I don't know how to get this. I'm going to give up, and I'm just not going to face it anymore. It's a hard thing to get across how simple salvation is. Because it is so simple. And I think the biggest thing is that you need to realize what your problem is. Because if it's not a problem to you, it never will be. God says it's a problem. I got to look back at my notes, went off on a tangent. You know, I was thinking, you know about this now, so I've told you what your problem is. Told you how you can fix it. So what will you do now about this problem? We can read of a king. I didn't write it down, so I'm just going to have to go off memory. But King Agrippa, we've all heard of him. You know what he said? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we never read of him getting saved, of him trusting Christ. Unless you don't want salvation, unless you are acknowledging, you know what? Hell is great. I'm going to go there. Which I don't think anyone here, you'd be a fool to think that. So are you almost persuaded? Are you almost there? Almost is so short. As the saying goes, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. There is no close with salvation. Either you are or you aren't. Either you trust that the Lord Jesus, what he did at Calvary, which he did, was enough to pay for your sins, or it's not. And if it's not enough, I would like to know what is. Because that is pretty substantial to beat the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. So, maybe God will let you in after you die. I had my neighbor say that to me. Many of you know my neighbor, or we've talked about him. He would say he's an atheist. I don't even think he knows what he is. But he would say he's an atheist because he does not want to acknowledge God. That is the easiest thing. So I was out raking leaves. And of course he wants to talk. And we're having a good chat. He taught, and then he brings in politics. And that leads to God. So I don't force anything on him. But he got talking about the rapture, which apparently he didn't read the Bible, but if you know about the rapture, you must have read something, because that's not exactly basic reading for someone. So we got talking about that, and I said, well, no, this, this, and this. And then he got talking about the tribulation. So I said, well, no, this, this, and this. Oh, it's all just a fantasy, he says. I said, if it's a fantasy, you know what? If I'm wrong when I die, and you're right, and there is no God, I lose nothing. I'm out nothing. This hasn't ruined my life. It's made my life a lot better. But if he's wrong, he's out his soul. And I said that to him. And he said, oh, well, I hear God, if he's real, is gracious and forgiving, and he'll let me in anyway. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Daryl quoted that at the Villa tonight. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Now. You could get saved right now. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to read a certain Bible. Nothing. The work is all done. He did it for you. Is that a truth in your life? You see, all of us that are saved here tonight, the only reason we're saved is because he did it for me. That is a truth that I rest my eternity, my soul on. Jesus Christ died for me. And he did for you. God's grace is not limited. Salvation does not have a tank that there's only so many that'll get saved. There are. There will be the last soul that is saved. But tonight, grace is infinite. Salvation is for you. All you need to do is believe that, he died for you, to say, Jesus died for me. I realized that when I was 18. So, your problem? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pray that you would think about that tonight as Marcus gets up. The work is done. Finished. He died for you. The bill has been settled. There's zero you can do aside from accept that he died for you. And I pray that you would tonight.